But 20-0 was nothing. There was still time for Gryffindor to catch up or catch the Snitch. A few goals and they would be in the lead as usual. Harry assured himself, bobbing and weaving through the other players in pursuit of something shiny that turned out to be Montague's watch strap. But Ron let in two more goals. There was an edge of panic in Harry's desire to find the Snitch now. If he could just get it soon and finish the game quickly. And Katie Bell of Gryffindor dodges Pusey. Ducks Montague. Nice swerve, Katie. And she throws to Johnson. Angelina Johnson takes the quaffle. She's past Warrington. She's heading for goal. Come on now, Angelina. Gryffindor score! It's 40-10. 40-10 to Slytherin. And Pusey has a quaffle. Harry could hear Luna's ludicrous lion hat roaring amidst the Gryffindor cheers and felt heartened. Only 30 points in it. That was nothing. They could pull back easily. Harry ducked a bludger that Crabbe had sent rocketing in his direction and resumed his frantic scouring of the pitch for the Snitch, keeping one eye on Malfoy in case he showed signs of having spotted it. But Malfoy, like him, was continuing to soar around the stadium, searching fruitlessly. Pusey throws to Warrington. Warrington to Montague. Montague back to Pusey. Johnson intervenes. Johnson takes the quaffle. Johnson to Bell. This looks good. I mean bad. Bell's hit by a bludger from Goyle of Slytherin, and it's Pusey in possession again. Weasley was born in a bin. He always lets the quaffle in. Weasley will make sure we win. But Harry had seen it at last. The tiny fluttering golden Snitch was hovering feet from the ground at the Slytherin end of the pitch. He dived. In a matter of seconds, Malfoy was streaking out of the sky on Harry's left, a green and silver blur lying flat on his broom. The Snitch skirted the foot of one of the goal hoops and scooted off toward the other side of the stands. Its change of direction suited Malfoy, who was nearer. Harry pulled his firebolt around. He and Malfoy were now neck and neck. Feet from the ground, Harry lifted his right hand from his broom, stretching toward the Snitch. To his right, Malfoy's arm extended too, reaching, groping. It was over in two breathless, desperate, windswept seconds. Harry's fingers closed around the tiny, struggling ball. Malfoy's fingernail scrabbled the back of Harry's hand hopelessly. Harry pulled his broom upward, holding the struggling ball in his hand, and the Gryffindor spectators screamed their approval. They were saved. It did not matter that Ron had let in those goals. Nobody would remember as long as Gryffindor had won. Wham! A bludger hit Harry squarely in the small of the back, and he flew forward off his broom. Luckily, he was only 5 or 6 feet above the ground, having dived so low to catch the Snitch, but he was winded all the same as he landed flat on his back on the frozen pitch. He heard Madame Hooch's shrill whistle, an uproar in the stands compounded of catcalls, angry yells and jeering, a thud, then Angelina's frantic voice. "Are you all right?" "Course I am," said Harry grimly, taking her hand and allowing her to pull him to his feet. Madame Hooch was zooming toward one of the Slytherin players above him, though he could not see who it was at this angle.
"It was that thug, Crabbe," said Angelina angrily. "He whacked the bludger at you the moment he saw you'd got the Snitch. But we won, Harry. We won."
Harry heard a snort from behind him and turned around, still holding the Snitch tightly in his hand. Draco Malfoy had landed close by, white-faced with fury. He was still managing to sneer.
"Saved Weasley's neck, haven't you?" he said to Harry. "I've never seen a worse keeper, but then he was born in a bin. Did you like my lyrics, Potter?"
Harry did not answer. He turned away to meet the rest of the team, who were now landing one by one, yelling and punching the air in triumph, all except Ron, who had dismounted from his broom over by the goalposts and was making his way slowly back to the changing rooms alone.
"We wanted to write another couple of verses," Malfoy called, as Katie and Alicia hugged Harry. "But we couldn't find rhymes for fat and ugly. We wanted to sing about his mother, see?"
"Talk about sour grapes,"
said Angelina, casting Malfoy a disgusted look.
"We couldn't fit in Useless Loser either, for his father, you know."